Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to the program, and hope that things are going well with you today on this first day of the week. It's a day where Christians all over the world get out and meet together to worship the God of heaven and honor His name, and we'd love for you to do that with us at Eastside this morning. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. We meet at 9 o'clock this morning for a Bible study and a worship assembly. As I said, this is the first day of the week. We'd love to have you come out and be with us and worship the God of heaven, study God's Word with us. But if you can't do that, check us out online. Our services are live streamed on Facebook. You can go to Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama on Facebook. Or you can check out our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Go there and click on the media tab and the live streaming. But if you have the opportunity, come be with us today. We'd love to have you as our guest and worship God together, learn more about Him together. Here this morning on the program, we'll be looking, to start with, at John chapter 7 and verse 17. And I want to be talking to you about the will to do God's will. The Bible teaches us, and Jesus will say to us in this verse, that it takes man's will to do God's will. It takes man's will to know God's will. That's a fact that's denied by a lot of people, but Jesus says it pretty plainly here in John chapter 7 and verse 17. He says, "If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." There are some real important truths that jump out at us from this verse, and I think that they're necessary to note before we can really even explore the full weight of Jesus' teaching here. And the first thing, as I've already suggested, is that human beings have a will of our own. And anyone can will to do what anybody wills to do. They may not accomplish it, but they can will to do it. That's for sure. Jesus says, if anyone wills to do his will. So if anyone wills to do the will of God, there are some things that follow from that. But the reality is that there are a lot of religious people today, some who claim to be Christians, who deny that man has a will of his own. The Calvinist doctrines of hereditary depravity and unconditional election deny that man can will to do God's will. A very well-known confession of faith, the Westminster Confession of Faith, begins this way in chapter 9, article 3. It says, "Man, by his fall into a state of sin, has wholly lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanying salvation." In other words, there's nothing a man who's fallen into sin, who's so depraved, maybe he's born that way or he's fallen into such depravity, he can't even begin to want to do anything spiritual according to this so-called confession of faith. And there are a lot of people in this world that believe that. But it's exactly the opposite of what Jesus is saying in John 7 and verse 17. He says, if anyone wills to do his will, if anyone wills to do his will. Sounds like plainly that Jesus knew that people could will, anyone and everyone could will to do the will of God. That doesn't mean that they will actually accomplish it, but they can will to do it, according to Jesus' statement right there. But Jesus repeatedly showed that it is the will of man that keeps the lost from being saved, and it is the will of man that enabled the lost to choose salvation. Nothing could be plainer in the teaching of Jesus than those facts. If you look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Jesus comes to Jerusalem and he laments over the city of Jerusalem and over its inhabitants. He is grieved because of their rejection of truth. He says, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." What was the problem with the people of Jerusalem? Why had they chosen their path to spiritual and material destruction? Well, it's because of their will. That's what their will enabled them to do. See, they were not willing to follow what the Lord said to do. They had a will. They could have been willing. They could have accepted the offers of the Lord to come to Him, but they did not. They were not willing. And then look at Matthew chapter 16 in verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If anyone desires, the word desires there is in the original language, the Greek language of the New Testament, translated from the same word that's translated will. If anyone wills, in other words, to come after me, he can deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So you see that following Jesus is a matter of your will and my will. We all have the choice of whether or not to do that. We can determine we want to do it or not. But the point is that that will is ours. In John chapter 5 and verse 40, Jesus said to the Jews, "You are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Again, the problem with their lost state and their disobedience was their will. We see in each of these passages that the will of man has something directly to do with his state, whether he's going to be saved or lost, whether he's going to accept Jesus and follow his will, or going to reject him and go his own way to perdition. These things are plainly taught in the New Testament. When it comes to God's will, of course, doing it is important. There in our text in John 7 and verse 17, Jesus says, "If anyone wills to do his will." Notice he doesn't just say, "If anyone wills to know his will." It's important to know the will of God. We'll talk about that a little bit. It's really important to know it. But here Jesus is talking about doing. If you want to do God's will, you know, it's what he's saying. The life of a Christian is more than just listening to the word of Jesus. It's more than just acknowledging Jesus as Lord, and it's more than just believing. Doing God's will is directly connected to man's will. That is to say, man may choose to do God's will, and in doing that, he is doing exactly what God designed for him to do. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17, there was a man who came to Jesus and asked, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Matthew 19 and verse 17, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Here's a man, comes to Jesus, wants to know what to do to have eternal life. And Jesus says, well, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. You see, it's important to do what God says to do. Of course, that man was living under the Old Testament. We understand that. Christ had not died on the cross yet. That man was no doubt a Jew who was living under the law of Moses. But the point is, that man had a will. He had a choice to make, and he could keep the commandments. Only those who do God's will can enter the kingdom of heaven, and we choose to do God's will or not do it. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." The point we're making right now is when Jesus said, if anyone wills to do his will, we can will, each of us can. We can decide we want to do something, and we can decide that we want to do the will of God, not just know it, not just hear about it, not just believe it, but to actually do it. And it's vital that we actually do it, because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. That's Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Of course, it's nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense for us to hear the word of God, to be willing to listen to the word of God and learn the word of God, if we're not going to do it. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus goes on to talk about the one who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. He's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. See, the wise man is the one who hears the word of the Lord and does it. The foolish man hears the word of the Lord. He listens. Maybe he learns it, but he doesn't do it. I think each of us this morning probably needs to think about which one we are. Maybe we know a lot about what Jesus said. Maybe we know a lot about what the scriptures teach, but how much of it are we doing? If we just hear it and learn it, but we don't do it, Jesus says concerning his word that if we just hear it and don't do it, we're like that foolish man who built his house on the sand. James explains in James chapter 1 of his epistle, James chapter 1 and verse 22, that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. He explains, for if one is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We've all had the experience where we get up in the morning and stumble into the bathroom maybe, and we look at ourselves in the mirror, and I mean, we're just a wreck. You know, our hair is all over the place, and just not ready to face the day at all. Our eyelids are drooping and everything, and just, you know, a horrible sight to look at ourselves sometimes in the mirror in the morning. What would you think if you did that in the morning and you saw what a mess you were, and then you just turned away from the mirror and went out in the world and continued just to look like that, never straightened yourself up, never combed your hair, never got ready in any way to face the world? Well, you'd say, well, what'd you look in the mirror to begin with for, right? The Word of God is like a mirror. And we look into it and we see we're messed up. We see where we need to be corrected, and we correct ourselves accordingly. So be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That's the teaching of James chapter 1. It's also the teaching that Jesus is giving us there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26. If we're going to be wise, don't just be hearers of the word, but be a doer of the word. The Lord's family, you see, is made up of those who do what God says. We don't emphasize this enough in the religious world today. We need to understand that if we're part of the family of God, we are obedient to our Heavenly Father. If we're His children, He's our Father, we do as He says. Jesus put it very plainly in Luke chapter 8 and verse 21. He said, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." Hear the word of God and do it. That's who the family of Jesus is. And so it is even still today. We must do the will of God. Heaven is for those who continually do good. We are saved, of course, by the grace of God. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we come to Him in faith. We do the things that He's asked us to do. We're not earning our salvation, but we're complying with His will. And if we are truly saved by His grace and we've obeyed the gospel, we've been baptized for the remission of our sins, we're going to do good in our lives. We're going to follow His will. And the Bible talks about this again repeatedly. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, we learn that the Lord grants eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. Patient continuance in doing good. So we have to ask ourselves, are we people who will to do God's will and who will do God's will? Back in our text for this morning, which is John 7 and verse 17, if you've just turned in, Jesus says, if anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So we can all will, we all have a will, and we can all will to do God's will, not just to know it, but to actually do it. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, then, the Apostle Paul writes to Christians and he says, let's not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So when we go back to John 7 and we look at the context in which John 7:17 was spoken, Jesus had gone up to the temple during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And he taught. In fact, he'd done quite a bit of teaching, and his teaching was really impressive. The Jews marveled in John chapter 7 and verse 15. They said, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus, you know, I don't suppose was a college graduate. And the area of the world that he came from wasn't known for its great scholars. And so, you know, the fact that he knew what he knew and could convey it as he did was especially impressive to the Jews. They marveled at it. They were amazed at it, how he could know what he knew, having never studied, as they said. But the explanation, of course, lay in the source of Jesus' knowledge. Jesus informed the Jews in the next verse that his doctrine was not a product of human genius. In fact, it didn't originate with Jesus. He says, "My doctrine is not mine, my teaching is not mine, but it is he who sent me." So Jesus is relying on his Heavenly Father. The things he's saying are the words of his Heavenly Father. He's conveying the words of our Heavenly Father to us and to those, of course, who heard Jesus in his life. Well, how could anybody be certain of that, though? How could you know if you were standing there listening to Jesus and, you know, that his teaching is amazing? And how can he know this stuff? And he said, "Well, I know it because it's not really from me. It was given to me by my Father who sent me. I was sent from heaven." You know, it's what he's saying. "And my words are from my Heavenly Father who sent me." But how could you be sure about that? That was a difficult claim for the Jews to accept back in the time, because, of course, many of them did not believe that Jesus had actually been sent from the Father. Yet his remarkable teaching had to come from somewhere, right? How could they resolve this dilemma and understand the true nature of Jesus' teaching? Well, for one thing, you have to remember that Jesus had performed quite a number of miracles among them. And the miracles were proof of his origin, proof of the fact that he had come from heaven, that the Father had sent him from heaven to earth. Way back in John chapter 5 and verse 36, earlier in the Gospel of John, he says, "I have a greater witness than John's, even than John the Baptist." And the Jews accepted John the Baptist as a great prophet. You know, many, many Jews went out from Jerusalem and all of Judea to be baptized by John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Son of God and as the Lamb of God. But Jesus says, I have a greater witness than John's. The works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." So, you know, if we put ourselves in the place of these Jews who are hearing Jesus say, "I'm not speaking my own words, I'm speaking the words of the Father." And you can know that these are really the Father's words. Well, they could have realized that already, not just because of the amazing teaching that he was doing, but also because of the miracles that he had worked, and even the testimony of John the Baptist, who they all accepted as being a prophet. So you put all of that together and you think, well, they should have known that Jesus was really speaking the word of God with all of that evidence before them. But they're still wondering, and they still are in a bit of a quandary about it. So in the next verse, then, is where Jesus says, "If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority." Well, they could figure out whether what Jesus was saying was truly from God or not. If they really wanted to do God's will, they'd be able to figure it out. You see, the desire to do God's will is what would enable them to know the source of Jesus' teaching, its truth, and perhaps even the meaning of the teaching, and that it came from God. They could know all of that if they would just really will to do the will of God. If they really wanted to do the will of God, they could understand that. So how does that apply to us today? Let's think about a little bit these, maybe a couple of different ways to approach knowing the truth and being right with God. The Jews' approach, at least for most of them in Jesus' day, had been really entirely misguided. They thought that truth could be known merely by intellectual pursuit. They studied, you know, the writings of the rabbis and the Old Testament law of Moses. They studied that in their synagogues and in their schools. They listened to the debates of the rabbis, and they assured themselves that through all of that they were discovering the truth. And so it was an intellectual pursuit. It was based on human logic and argument, human reasoning so much of the time. But there was a component that was missing, and that's what Jesus is pointing out here. It's not so much that we're trying to minimize the studying of God's word or discussing and meditating on the scriptures. All of that is very important, helps us understand the will of God. And the Jews had a lot of that. They talked about God's word. They studied God's word. But this one component was missing, and that's the thing that Jesus is pointing out, and that was a true desire to actually obey God no matter what God said. And when we have that desire, we're going to study harder, and we're going to discuss more fervently, and we're going to look in the scriptures more deeply even than we would have otherwise. And that, of course, will lend us to coming to a real understanding of truth. But the key component that Jesus is pointing out is the will to do the will of God. If you really want to do the will of God, what are you going to do? You're going to dig into the Word of God. You're going to find out what it means, what it says. You're going to apply it to your life on a continuous basis, no matter what it is that it's asking you to do, no matter how many changes you have to make. You're going to do all of that because you really want to do the will of God. It is a person who intends to follow the directions that are found in an instruction manual. You know, they are going to read it far more carefully than a person who's just reading it to familiarize themselves with a topic. We will be fully involved in studying God's word for sure if we want to do it. Genuine love for God's law causes a person to meditate on it all day long, Psalm 119, verse 97 says. And so that kind of a person who really wants to know God's will and really wants to do God's will, that's the main thing, is going to know it more thoroughly and handle it more accurately precisely because he's intent on putting that knowledge to use. I mean, it's one thing if I give you an instruction manual of how to put some piece of equipment together, but you don't really have that piece of equipment and you're not intending to put it together, but I ask you to learn that instruction manual, you might look at it, you might go over it, but the person who's actually trying to put that piece of equipment together and he doesn't know anything about that piece of equipment, he's going to really dig into that instruction manual, you see, because he's applying what he's learning. Jesus is really saying that to us in John 7 verse 17. If you will to do the will of God, you'll know the teaching, you'll know where it comes from. You'll be putting it into practice, and you'll know it so thoroughly that you'll know that it is truly the Word of God. Our prayer should be as the psalmist was, I think, in Psalm 119 and verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I will observe it with my whole heart." If we want to do God's will, we can learn it. We can know about it. This contrast in seeking truth explains why there are some who are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, as Paul describes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Some of the leaders in Jesus' day, they were that way. They were always learning. They were studying the traditions of the rabbis and the Old Testament law, you know, deeply. But they were always learning, but they were not able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they really didn't want to do that. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to stick with their traditions. They wanted to stick with what they were used to. There were a number of issues and problems in their hearts that kept them from actually wanting to do the will of God. And that's where we come to this morning. We have to ask ourselves the question, do we actually want to do the will of God? Do you and I this morning really want to do the will of God? In James chapter 1 and verse 21, James says, "To lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You see, there's a clear connection here between receiving the word and our willingness to be doers of the word. We're to receive the word with meekness. The word meekness is defined as that temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealing with us as good and therefore without resisting or disputing. In other words, a meek person turns his will over to God. It's not that a meek person is weak, but a meek person puts himself under the control of another. A meek person may be very powerful, but he allows another to basically instruct him and guide him and tell him what to do. And that's what meekness is all about. when we come to God's Word, if it is our idea that, well, I'm going to learn this and I'm going to read it, but I'm just going to keep on doing what I want to be doing, we're not going to know God's Word very well, and we're certainly not going to be pleasing to God. That's the problem. You see, our failed attempts to interpret and understand Scripture may indicate that we really don't want to do it. And there's a sense in which we talk about interpreting the Scripture. Well, there's a sense in which the Scripture interprets us, which is to say, when we don't deal with it in a forthright way, when we don't truly want to apply it to our lives, the Scripture sort of uncovers who we really are, sort of exposes the fact that we're not really sincere in our desire to follow God. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, after all, it says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God just sees right through us. And when we don't really want to do God's will and we approach God's word, it will expose that. It will expose our lack of desire to do what God wants us to do. Our inability to understand the Scripture, then, or our misuse of Scripture, may well be exposing an unwillingness on our part to do the will of God. Could it be that we need to have a thorough assessment of our motives concerning God's Word? I want to thank you again for tuning into the broadcast this morning. Why did you do that? Is it because you wanted to learn more about God's Word so that you could do it? You see, that needs to be our motive. That needs to be our motive when we approach God's Word. Coach Vince Lombardi, great football coach, throughout his years of coaching football, understood that the difference, he said, between a successful person and others is often not a lack of strength, but a lack of knowledge, or a lack of knowledge, but rather it's a lack of will. And that's pretty much what Jesus is saying to us. It's our will. Do we want to do God's will? Do we want to do God's will? That's the thing we need to be asking ourselves. Bible examples are, we find them throughout Scripture, of people that wanted to do God's will. And so they came to an understanding of it and they did it. And then there are lots of people in Scripture who did not want to do God's will, and they just found that they couldn't because they didn't want to. And so it is in the world today. Our problem may be that simply we are not willing to do the will of God, and we're not willing to do even what we already know to do. That's a question I think each of us could ask ourselves this morning as well. Are there things that you know that God has said to do in His book, but you're not doing them? Well, if there are, you know, we can't expect to go any further along on the road that leads to life if we're not willing to do what we've been told to already. The way that leads to life is a difficult way, but it requires us doing the will of God each step of the way. And that's what we're challenging each one to do this morning. Again, we thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Encourage you to study your Bible with the idea that you're going to do what it says as you strive to walk the way that leads to life.